Do you remember what your question was earlier?
You must be born again?
Are you sure?
Well, that was a statement.
Are you sure?
Huh?
Are you sure?
Are you sure? Yeah. How do you know?
Well, actually, the question was, are you sure that all things work out together?
Are you sure?
Is that a true statement or is it not? Yeah. How many say yes?
Yes.
Okay, this is probably a trick question because
there's a condition.
There is a condition. Yes. Yes. Genesis chapter 3, verse 1. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast in the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, Thou shalt not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest you die. And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die. So, here we have some problems to start with. Satan, apparently this is the first time he used this, but he's used it for years and years and years, the same thing. Did God actually say God said, Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? Well, that's kind of a trick question in itself, isn't it? And what does the woman say? We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. Now, that's not a direct quote from God either. God said, "Ye shall eat of every fruit of the tree of the garden." Except for one. And then she goes on to say, "But of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, you shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die." So here again is another problem. She quoted it pretty well. About you shall not eat of it. But then she added something to it. And what does the Bible say about adding to the scripture? Neither shall you touch it, lest you die. He didn't say that. So there's several misinformations here. This may have come from the modern news media.
Yeah, right.
Okay. So, number four, and the serpent said unto the woman, "You shall not surely die." Is that true? God said you would die. Satan said you will not die. Who's right? Well, if I'm taking my bets, it's going to be with God, because God is, let God be true and every man a liar. So we know that Satan is a liar. But here's what he did. Adam and Eve were in a perfect situation. Absolutely perfect in every sense. They didn't have sin to deal with. They had everything laid out for them to. He wanted that more than anything else, the thing that he couldn't have. children are that, like that, but then adults are like that too. I remember in my own life, I wanted an 8-track player. And I was willing to go into debt for that 8-track player. That was the first thing that I ever borrowed money for, we borrowed money for. But it was my idea, unfortunately. And I thought that 8-track player was a really great thing. And it would record too, play guitar and sing music, and I thought, this will be a wonderful thing. Well, it was a wonderful thing, but it wasn't a wonderful thing enough that I went into debt for it. Number two thing. Everybody remembers Sears catalogs. And there was one page in the Sears catalog, it was a whole page, and it was about routers, a router. And it showed all the amazing things that you could do with a router. And if you're into woodworking, you can understand well what a router is and what it can do. And so I thought that I had to have that router. I thought my life just would not be complete until I got that router. Well, I got that router, but Satan says, no, you're not done yet. You can't just get a router, you have to get router bits to go with it. And not only that, but you have to know how to use the router, so you have to take the time to practice and invest time in that. And it probably took me about 40 years to become fluent in routers, so to say. So that router became a lesson to me that was a temptation for me. Temptation that I yielded to wasn't for my good at the time. Oh, I used it a little bit. It went to pieces, and I had to buy a new rotor for the thing because it wasn't built very well. And then I had realized that I had to be careful with it, really careful with it after that. Used it, and I never really did use it that much. It wasn't until later that I really found it working. But those are just illustrations of things. And then we have an illustration of Absalom. He was the king's son. Probably had all the comforts and convenience that a king's son could have. But he wasn't happy to be a king's son. He wanted more. And remember one time that somebody asked one of the rich guys, I don't remember which one it was, but it was back when I was young, said, how much money is enough? I mean, the guy had money, and the money wasn't the problem, but he said, just a little bit more. So, think about it. Adam and Eve Did they prove that they loved the Lord God with all their heart, soul, mind, and body, according to the first commandment? Didn't do too well, did they? Thou shalt have no other gods before me. The temptation really was to be like God, to know right and wrong. So really, of course, that was another lie. But Satan actually said that. For God doesn't know then that they eat thereof, their eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good from evil, or as God. So they wanted to, they thought, okay, God's just trying to hold back from us. We can be just like him. We need to know the truth, wouldn't you? Because they even said so. Okay, so they actually come to realize, of course, that they had done something terribly wrong. And God comes and confronts them. And you know the story pretty much, but it says, who told thee thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee thou shouldst not eat? And the man said, it's a woman you gave me. And so the Lord said, woman, what is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, well, the serpent beguiled me. So he kind of goes backwards the situation here and says, okay, he says to the servant, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. Upon the belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And here's the first part of indication of the plan of salvation. Verse 15, I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed, and it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. So, you notice it says, he said unto the woman, between thy seed and her seed. Generally, the seed comes from a man, but it didn't in Christ's case. God basically created Christ in Eve. Her husband to be had no part into it. It was God. Just like Jason said, first Adam was created. The second Adam was created as well. So there was no sin in him, because it was God's seed, not man's seed. And it says, I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. We know the story. Satan thought he had everything under control. He had Christ on the cross, dead, buried, sealed in the ground, even put it on the hearts of the religious leaders to put a watch on there to make sure he didn't get out of the ground. salvation. Amen. So, just one more thing. There's the word lust and the word covetousness. They seem to be almost used interchangeably. The word lust is not used in the Ten Commandments as such. But the last commandment says, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, or his manservant, or his maidservant, or his ox, or his ass, or anything that is thy neighbor's. Do you have any right to what belongs to your neighbors? Do you have the right to take it? Obviously not, because he owns it. But Satan says, look what he's got. What's wrong with this situation? You could have it for yourself. Remember Ahab? Ahab willingly. Black Jezebel says, what's your problem? It's Naboth. Well, what's the matter with Naboth? Well, he has a vineyard, but I want it. Jezebel says, you can have it, I'll take care of it. Ahab says, good, that's just what I wanted to hear. And so, Satan's been doing that forever, and saying, if you just listen to me, you can have whatever you want. So as we prepare for communion, think about it. Christ, who had everything, took upon himself. All of our sin and suffer and die for it. He who knew no sin for our sin. Now, do we have any reason to lust? Now, when we think about the fact that Satan is just there to say, don't be content with what you have. Take what's not yours. King David was challenged with the same thing. You could have anything you wanted, David. Chose the thing that was not rightfully yours, and somebody else, and you took it. Now God accepted the fact that David repented when he was confronted with it. Called him a man after his own heart. Not because of what he did, but because of what God can do through him. Father, thank you for your great salvation. Thank you that even though we are in the scriptures today, we are dust. Lord, it's not because of anything that we have done which would make us righteous, but only what you have done that can make us righteous, that can give us the victory over lusts and desires, and evil hearts. And we know that our righteousness are filthy rags, but your righteousness imputed into us can allow us to stand before the